Hey, greetings everyone. This is Brother Two Posts from DontParish.com, John 424 Radio. We just got set up for our night park spot. I wanted to do this teaching audio for you. I want to talk about iron sharpens iron explained. Iron sharpens iron explained. I know you know this verse. Oftentimes, I think you know this as well. Bible verses, ones that get quoted commonly, they're well known, but they're not well used or well understood. Oftentimes they're just thrown out there and not understood, not used rightly. This verse is one of those. I want to talk about this. People talk about it all the time. Iron sharpens iron. But is it used and divided rightly? Let's talk about it. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. All right, so the reason this is coming up is we will be out street preaching or witnessing, or we'll get a phone call, we'll get an email from people. Oftentimes, most 99.99% of the time, they're not serious saints, they're churchianity Christians, and they like to throw out that iron sharpens iron, right? Well, let's talk. And then they're just interested in a quick conversation. Not real meat and depth of the word, not obedience, not striving in holiness. They just kind of throw that iron sharpens iron out there, like as if that one verse quoting that is going to do them any good. I want to look at this concept because I've learned the opposite side of iron sharpens iron. I want to look at this concept and I want to add some key thoughts that might help us understand this verse so we can rightly apply it to our lives and not use it, toss it around loosely, like those people so often do. So the idea of this verse is what? Sharpening. If you're a Titus 2 keeper, you probably know about sharpening knives. If you're a man that's done any kind of butchering or any kind of, any kind of work with sharp tools, you know that two pieces of metal rubbed against each other cause friction and can cause sharp edges to be made. Yeah, that's how Sister Amen sharpens our knives. She's got a knife sharpener. It's got metal and stone in it. And then she runs our knives over it. Man, they get razor sharp. So, sharpen in the Hebrew, kodad, to be sharp, alert, fierce, keen. I like that, to be keen. So, in context, we always want to study in context. This means to be sharp in the word and our ways, our life, for Christ, for the kingdom of God, right? So we want to be sharp, alert, fierce, keen. These are needed skills for God's people. Why? Because he said, I send you out as sheep among wolves. He said, be wise as a serpent in Matthew. He said, Peter tells us, Satan's a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour, 1 Peter 5:8. So we got to be keen. We got to be sharp. We got to be alert. We got to be fierce in the word of God. And this sharpening sharpens us for the service of God. But I want to talk about, before anything can be sharpened the way it's talking about, we need to be sharpened. What do you need? In the context of this, what do you need? We want to talk about it. First of all, we just mentioned it. In order to be sharpened, you need what? One piece of iron or two? You need two, all right? You need two pieces of iron. And again, in context, that's two born-again, holy, Bible-believing, blood-bought saints taking the word of God, the kingdom of God serious, leaving the culture, leaving their fleshly ways, leaving false churchianity, striving for the kingdom of God, losing their lives daily. It takes two, all right? You can't rub two sticks together and get a sharp edge. Nope, I'm an outdoorsman my whole life. I know that's not true. And you also can't take a piece of wood and rub it up against a piece of steel. That's also not going to work. Not going to sharpen. It's just going to hack the piece of wood apart. You got to have two irons. And that's two saints before any sharpening that's meaningful can take place. That's really important. All right? That's really important. The concept of two people, you know, Jesus sent them out two by twos. The concept of two people is in various places in the Bible. How about Ecclesiastes 4:9-12? I like these verses. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So the concept of two, two people, two believers or more, very, very important. Jesus said, wherever two or more are gathered, he's there. Now, it doesn't mean he's not with you also, but it's just the concept of two, another believer there, very important. So the sharpening has to take place, and there has to be two irons to be sharpened. And I'm raising this because, again, we often get lukewarm, worldly, churchianity, false religious people living in sin who think that they can be part of the iron to help sharpen people. But they're more like wood. It's true. And they don't really want to be sharpened, and they don't really want to sharpen others, but they just want to use this verse so it makes them look religious. It makes them look holy. You know, people do that, you know. People throw Bible verses around to make themselves look holy. We see it all the time in the streets. People walk by and say, "Praise the Lord, I love Jesus." And when you try to talk to them about God and Jesus and the gospel, they throw you to the curb instantly and walk away. So people have very superficial faith. Yeah, lip service faith Jesus talked about in the Gospels. And so they'll throw this idea out there. Iron sharpens iron, like as if they're really a piece of iron being sharpened when they're not. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." It's got to be sharp, right? It says it's sharper. "Piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So what this tells us is the word of God is sharp, all right? It doesn't need any more sharpening. You know what the word of God needs to be done? In us, we need to be sharpened to use the word of God. So we as iron are sharpening ourselves against the word of God. If you're alone, you can sharpen yourself against the word of God. Look at that. What does it say? The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You can sharpen yourself alone against the word of God. But in context, this Proverbs 27 is talking about sharpening yourself against another believer. And so that's what I want to focus on here. So the word of God is quick and powerful, and it's sharp. We got to be sharp as well. In order to do spiritual cutting, like when we're witnessing, preaching, rebuking, correcting, teaching, we got to be sharp. We got to be keen in the word, right? And you got to be with another committed believer to sharpen iron against iron when we're talking about two people here. That's the whole context. Makes sense, doesn't it? It does. You can sharpen yourself in the word of God by yourself if you have no one else. But in context, Proverbs 27 is talking about another true believer. My biggest warning to you is don't sharpen yourself against people that aren't steel. They aren't iron. They're going to dull you. You're going to waste your time. We'll talk about that a little bit more. So if you're around, I guess we'll talk about it right now. I got the verse right here. Paul says, "Bad company corrupts," 1 Corinthians 15:33. So when you're around a person that's not in the scriptures, they don't obey the scriptures, they're not striving for holiness, they love the world and the things of the world, they're going to dull you. They're not going to sharpen you at all. Is that not true? You can pretend they're iron, whether it's your husband, an acquaintance, somebody in your religious body. You can pretend, but they're not going to sharpen you at all. The Bible says you need two pieces of iron, and we're going to find out what they do to each other in a second here. So bad company corrupts. Don't hang out with people that aren't sharpening themselves as iron, but they're wood, and they're false believers. So this next part of the verse says this, ready? "So a man sharpeth the countenance of his friend." All right, so we're talking about, can be a woman, man and women. So we've determined we have two pieces of iron, two true believers in context, and they're sharpening each other, making themselves keen, right? Sharpen the word. And then it says the countenance. What's the countenance? Well, it's a big, big, long, drawn-out word with all kinds of meanings, but in the context of this, it really means your face, your presence, the person. So your countenance is like, the best example I can give you is, like you get up in the morning and it's a beautiful day, the sun's shining, you feel great. And when you walk, you've got spring in your step and you're feeling good. Now that's a fleshly feel good. You wake up and you got the flu and you're sick. What's your countenance? Oh, kind of dragging yourself. I can hardly walk. I'm dizzy. I don't feel good. So that's a fleshly countenance. How about worldly people in their spirit? They're carnal. They're sinful. They're rebellious. Their countenance is against God. But saints walk with a countenance of holiness and obedience to God, and they have a confidence in the word, they're leaning on the word, they're preaching the word, they're living by the word. So your countenance is how you carry yourself, I like to say, in the Lord. It's your presence, how you carry yourself in the Lord in this context, right? Another biblical examples would be like in Proverbs 28:1, it says, the righteous are as bold as a lion, so your countenance is you be bold. But in Revelation 21:8, it says, the fearful won't inherit the kingdom of God. That would be timid, fearful, different countenance, right? So this sharpening by another true piece of iron, if you're a piece of iron, helps raise your countenance in the things of God. I'd like to believe, not believe, I know, that the disciples hanging out with Jesus, their master, Messiah, creator, God, he sure brought up their countenance, didn't he? Yeah, absolutely he did. He brought their countenance up and help them in the things and in the word of God. So ponder that countenance, what that means, all right? And what it's going to help you, if you're sharpened that way, is it's going to help you always be ready to give an answer, 1 Peter 3:15. So you're going to be strong, you're going to be sharp, you're going to be keen, it's going to help your countenance. But if you don't know the word, if you're not sharpening on your iron, if you're not iron at all, you're going to be reluctant. You're not going to speak the word. What's going to happen? You're not going to be a useful tool unto the master, right? That's what this is all about, being a useful tool unto the master. We are called to be salt and light, so we need to be savory and bright, right? What did Jesus say happens to salt that loses its savor? Thrown out, people trample on it. What good is light if you put it under a bushel? We're of no good use to the Lord, once again. So we want to be sharp. We want to have good countenance. We want to be salt. We want to be light. We want to be iron that's being sharpened. So this is all talking about two believers sharpening themselves. Got to have two. Then the countenance, and it's in the word, a word of God. We're sharpening ourselves in the word of God. The countenance. And then the last part of this verse, it says a friend. Reah. It means associate, intimate, close companion. All right, so let's talk about this. This is not a one-time thing, right? That's not an intimate companion, is it? No. No. This sharpening is an ongoing, long-term process. This is key. This is really important. I've watched Sister Amen, and I've sharpened knives and chainsaw blades my whole life. Guess what? You don't sharpen them by one or two strokes and one and done, you're out of there. Nope. It's a constant, many strokes, consistent process, steadfastness, and guess what? They need to be resharpened often. You don't sharpen them once a year. If you use them a lot, I promise you, you got a dull knife. No, they need to be sharpened often. Titus 2 ladies know all about this. The sharpest knife in the drawer is the one you're going to grab and use when you need a real good cut. That's true. That's absolutely true. I see that with Sister Amen all the time. And we know that the Lord is going to use his sharp tools. Yeah, we're tools unto the Lord. We're vessels, we're tools. So let's recap what we've learned about this. This verse, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. We need to be true iron, true believers, born of the gospel, not churchianity folks, not worldly people, committed. You need to be... have another iron with you in the context of this verse that is true iron, another true committed saint. Two true real saints can help sharpen each other's countenance. Yeah. If one isn't a true saint, they're not going to sharpen you. They're going to dull you up. It's true. Now, all of this is going to affect how you carry yourself in the Lord. And how are we supposed to carry ourselves? Every day. So this friendship, this sharpening, it tells us, as we said, it's an ongoing relationship. So you're ongoing sharpening, not a one-time thing, not a one and done, not done seldom. Very important. Sharpening requires, this is an important note, sharpening requires that we be willing to take a rebuke and correction, right? We be sharpened. That means metal's being removed away from us, formed, right? Metal's being formed, an edge is being made, some metal's being taken off. It gets a little hot. Oh, yeah. Proverbs 9:8, reprove not a scorner lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. Yeah, people that really love God's word and want the truth, they want to walk in the truth of God. They love to take a rebuke or a correction. Rebuke can be correction. Exhortation, right? A teaching. So I hope that's you. I know that's me. I get a lot of people that come correcting me, and I like to be corrected. I like to be shown scripture. Oftentimes, they're coming with their own opinions, ideas, and they're not biblical, and they need to be tested and then shown that error. Most times, they don't like that because they're not correctable. Imagine that. Someone coming to correct you, and they're not correctable. That's called hypocrisy, folks. Yeah. So, if you want to stay sharp, you want this whole process to be carried out biblically. That's why we're going through this. If you want to be dull, then you're not going to go through this process at all. And you're not going to be used of God. You're not a godly iron then unto the Lord. The sharpening, this is really key. The sharpening with another iron in the Word of God has to be done on a regular basis. I encourage people to do it daily because we're supposed to be about the Lord's business daily. Are we not? Ready? Acts 5:42. And daily in the temple in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Hebrews 3:13. We live by this one. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Acts 17:17. Wherefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Yeah, Paul was out in the market every day or daily talking to people about the things of God. So this sharpening, let's talk about where it's done. This sharpening is best done, I get it, face-to-face. I'm getting ready to do a teaching on face-to-face fellowship versus long distance, and that will be aimed mostly at men because women and women are a little bit different. Men are called to something different. My teaching is going to be on face-to-face or long-distance fellowship regarding men. But this sharpening is best done face-to-face like we see it in the New Testament scriptures. It's where you build life together, you build commitment together, trust together, you see each other's life. It's best face-to-face. It's like being married. Can you be married over the internet? Really hard. Really hard. I don't recommend it. Now, if you're isolated and you don't have other true believers with you, oh, there's hope. If you can communicate online, we have saints that do that with us. You can be sharpened and also sharpen by communicating long distance. It's not the same as face-to-face, I get it, but it still is a great advantage, a great encouragement, and so the sharpening can take place even long distance if it's done with wisdom and it's done biblically. That's why we put so much online, because we know people are isolated. We hear from people all over the world. Just got an email today from a couple that saw us preaching down in Florida. They were greatly edified. They're striving in the word. They're modifying their lives, and our website's helping them. So that's why we pour out, because there's people scattered all over the world that hopefully they're the true saints of God and they come out and follow and walk in his ways. So I hope this is helping you. The process of sharpening is a very, very key part of a true saint. You can't just go through your life and think you're sharp. You got to stay sharpened. It's a constant process, and it shows that you're striving and seeking the kingdom of God with all that you are. And only do this sharpening process with other saints that you know are born of the gospel, Christ's death, burial, resurrection, repentance to him, being born from above, walking in holiness and obedience and enduring in the faith. Only walk and sharpen with those people. You're going to just complicate your life if you do it with other people that are not serious about the kingdom of God. So the lesson on this verse and all verses, never take God's word lightly. Don't toss verses out there like iron sharpens iron unless you actually have studied it, you understand it, you're actually willing to do it and obey it. Here's one, worship in spirit and truth. People throw that one around all the time. It's one of my favorite verses, John 4:24. Hardly anybody wants to do it. Most everybody's not worshiping in spirit and truth. They have a false spirit and they don't have the truth. But they throw that verse out there. Why? It makes them look religious. It makes them look like they have some type of faith. It's a placebo, but it's not going to fool God. That's, again, lip service Christianity. So let's not throw these verses out there unless we rightly understand them, divide them, seek them out in Scripture, then make sure we know the important components of them and that we're doing them rightly. Does that make sense? The truth is, most people who use this particular verse, they're not iron at all. They don't really want to be sharpened. They don't really want to sharpen you. They don't know how because they don't know the Word of God. They don't want to obey the Word of God. They don't want to walk in the Word of God. They don't want to lose their life. How can they sharpen anyone? They can't. They can't, and they won't be used for His glory. I would just ask you as we close on this teaching, is God not worthy that we be sharp and keen and ready always, daily, for His good use? I think He is. I know He is. He's a glorious Savior. I hope that's your goal, to be sharp. I think don'tperish.com would help sharpen you. If you're serious about the faith, you contact us. And if it's biblical to do so, we'd love to edify you, encourage you, either long distance or if we can get to know you face to face and walk with you. I'll be doing that teaching pretty soon on long distance fellowship versus face to face, focused mostly on men. So ponder all these points I raised. I hope it blessed you and helps you in your walk. Check out the gospel at don'tperish.com. Check out all of our resources. Make sure you're striving for the kingdom of God with all that you are. And we're here to help you along that way. Down the gospel road we go. We love this van-dwelling life. It's a beautiful night. We just set up at our park spot. Let me know how I can help you in the faith. We love you all. Till next time, the Lord lets me come again. Have a glorious day. May God be praised.